There have been times in earthly history when even a triad, it was not nearly strong enough for the purpose it was given in shifting the plot. And so in came the brilliant design of triad trilogies. In triad trilogies, there are three triad beings, one active and two dormant. In each, there are three souls configured as a triad. The active triad is the visible one, the active agent, the acknowledged one. He who carries the brightest light, the voltage carrier, the divine lightning rod. It is he who is one of three, who is so evidently going through the paces, the cues, to shift the plot. The two dormant triads are energetically equally important, though, like the Gabriel soul in a triad, they may relinquish consciousness. They may be located quite far apart upon this planet, though quite unaware, discreetly living and working committedly with no conscious clue. Absolutely no awareness on conscious levels of who and what they are grounding for. They play their role so diligently, yet no one sees. This is called a triad trilogy. So let's discuss sweet Jesus now. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The one you know as Christ Consciousness. The first time he came, he was the most intricate triad trilogy. The voltage ran through him to you and to me. The most electrically wired human being that ever walked this earth. He was configured unlike you and I. You are one soul and so am I. He was 24 or 28, depending how you calculate. Some might say 44. Some of these souls were in body. Some were air slight outside. Others played their part so well etherically. His dominion was assured by this compounding energy grid. Souls were linked so sublimely in deepest faith. To this great mission all did creed. 'Tis all for one and him for me. To him I will relinquish me so he can succeed. And so this oath, it was taken. A bond was set, a commitment sure. Until his ultimate crescendo, he would not err. Those of us souls born inside him, it was a tug, a push, a pull, and yet we never, ever once did break our great pact. For our commitment, it was born of the one origin of home, to bring all souls together home. This is why he was born. To this we served, to this we bowed. 'Twas he who walked this planet proud. Within his house we did our work, so he could appear. He was a man, he was of God. He came to show you, you are he. This was his mission, it still is, to return your memory to eternity. Why was his voltage made so strong? Why not a simple triad trilogy? What was his mission? Why so huge? Why then? Why him? His time, it was the mass awakening. Numerous souls had ascended before him, enough to surely pave the way for all to come home. Let me help you understand. Do you remember the toothpick in the cake? From the cosmic vantage, from pure consciousness's view, as we see it from the non-incarnate state, it was apparent that all was in place, that all was ready. And it was. It was to make huge strides in completing the greatest mission of all time, to bring all souls home into one. To ballast sweet Jesus, to enable victory of this, his mission, we designed an elaborate triad trilogy. Three souls each, in each of three triad bodies. One is the active Jesus and two by his side. These two are those named as Peter and as Judas, his rock, his ultimate stabilizer, and his safety, his most dedicated friend. For if the cosmic prescription that the toothpick was ready, meaning that this epic mission it would complete clean in one go, with simple effort, with absolutely no ruffles, smooth and sublime, it would complete. If this prescription, this long-awaited anticipation, was not exquisitely precise, not right on its mark, if there was any possibility, any faint relic lingering, any slight volatility that could not yet be seen, if there was anything unnoticed, any obscure agent holding out, as so many hearts were still not clear enough for us to read accurately, so many minds were still so clouded and so cluttered, so many bodies were still polluted like lead. Yet the overall picture, it was one of true readiness. It was aptly tested. It appeared sure. The wound was so plump then, the pressure was bursting, the pain seemed so ready to be released. Yet what if? What if it wasn't ready? What if it was close, yet not precisely? What if dear Jesus was ahead of his time? A highly trusted soul would be ready, if this was the necessary occasion, to open the gateway for him. It would set him free. His design was still yet more elaborate. In the active triad, there was a duplicate copy, one of each archangel's soul energy acting like corks on three openings, each the Michael, Uriel, Gabriel, lovingly holding these embodied souls in. For these three souls embodied within the house of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, they each were like rockets poised to blast this bird home. Their ascension orientation, their rocket fuel burning, their desire for completion, it was yearning for home. Like horses at the race gate, these three cork souls held them in. Until it was time, son. Until it is time. If they weren't assisted to remain in the body for the full duration of Jesus' life, they would not have been able to endure the velocity, the push me, the pull you, that augmented in his life. Beneath the embodied Gabriel and beneath too his stopper soul, like a cork beneath his bottle, there was yet another soul. This brave soul was his anchor, his ultimate grounding wire, his tether here in space and time. Keenly attentive, it would need to know when to release him home. For all the souls in Jesus' body, they had already ascended at least once. Through the great love in their hearts, they agreed to come here again. It was this commitment, this great love for the wholeness, this deep-seated yearning that all be freed into light. This is why they came here. They did not need to. Yet in their earnestness of love, they did. They could see it was time, all was perfectly ready, and rather than wait longer, they did what they did. They came into this body like astronauts in a cockpit. They took their seats for to fly this bird home. They sensed all was ready. They willingly said, "Go. Yes, we are willing to fly this bird home." And so they all climbed in this epic configuration. They each took their seats. They each claimed their role. Together they orchestrated the most epic journey, the greatest of missions to fly this bird home. With this intricate configuration, like an intricate crystal, with so many souls in this house all at once, the guidance of the mother, she who commandeered this mission, it was her energy flowing in through the crown. It was her nectar, ever so precious, that guided these souls once they embodied in. For in so doing, they relinquished their vision. It was her sight, not their sight, that would direct them home. And all the souls within Jesus' body followed Mother's nectar, oh so bright. It was Mother's pure guidance. It was her who was leading him. And thus it is her who is leading us all home. And so just beyond Jesus' body, vibrating like a hummingbird, slightly higher, an emanation of radiance, this is who she is. And above this mother soul and the mother soul beyond her, there was a third mother. She is the brightest of them all. And this too with Michael, as with Father Gabriel, just as with Mother, there were two souls beyond each embodied soul as stoppers holding them in. Consider a jet plane. Its engines are revving, yet its pilots have brakes on, for it's not yet time. And sweet Uriel, the heart's speech, the soul whom all recognize, the most challenging place in this great cosmic ship. This Uriel, he had two souls, both chosen sublimely, one directly before him and one at his rear. As if surrounded by mirrors, trusted souls whom he himself chose before incarnating as the heart of Jesus right here. These mirrors would aid to guide him via the Uriel frequency, for they would recognize more than others when the timing was right. For they were the sensors. They perceived the most direct input to know when the people were receiving or closed. It was these two soul companions, these deep trusted playmates, that the inner Jesus alone walked with, fully trusting his role. For it was their reception, their comfort, their assurance, above all others, that Jesus' heart did fully trust. For they knew his vibration, they were it too completely. Only a Uriel could completely understand his part. Only they knew his tenderness. Only they knew his frailties. It was his Uriel companions that steadied his heart. His path, it was arduous. His path, it was challenging. While Michael's and Gabriel's, they did sure play their roles. It was his golden companions, his fellow bright Uriels, who kept him company well into the night. For as all were sleeping, as Jesus lay dreaming, it was these two Uriel souls who sat with him all night. Within his own casing, within his own body configuration, he had two companions who were solely loving him.